Hello, I'm Stephanie Gillard, the Producing Artistic Director at American Stage. Welcome to Spotlight, the American Stage podcast, where we illuminate the artistry and ideas behind the stories. Hey there, I'm Sadie Lockhart, the Community Engagement Associate at American Stage. This new series will feature our new Summer Shorts series, where each week we bring you trivia and cocktail recipes pre-show and a performance of two pieces of theater followed by a chat back with the playwrights and cast. Today's episode features a short play entitled Three Rings, No Diamonds by D.W. Gregory. And Your Song Remains the Same Old Song Sung Blue by Hal Borden. We will share with you an excerpt from each play, followed by a conversation that takes a deeper dive with the playwrights into these pieces and the exciting, challenging, and dynamic world of live virtual theater. This first clip that you will hear is from the play Three Rings, No Diamonds by D.W. Gregory. A coach takes her client through ways to approach a woman. Through their session, he learns how to express his interest in the opposite sex.
Walk into the room.
You walk into the room. Easy, very easy.
Like, no pressure, no problem.
And no agenda either, then?
Then I get a cup of coffee.
No!
We're in the break room, so I figured I should just get
a cup of coffee.
Before I get one?
Yes, before you get one. Haven't you been listening?
Okay. So, I walk into the room.
We know you're in the room.
And I offer her a cup of coffee.
How?
How?
What do you say to her?
Want a coffee?
Can you be a little bit smoother?
Smooth? I thought smooth wasn't cool anymore.
In your delivery and what you say it like it's a pain in the neck to offer her a cup of coffee.
It sort of is.
Well, if it's too much trouble, Larry, maybe there's a monastery somewhere with an opening.
So I walk into the room.
You walk into the room, and she's in the break room sitting there. Go.
Hey, Jess.
Hi, Larry.
How's it going?
Just fine.
So, would you like a coffee?
No, thanks.
Oh, come on!
You don't expect her to say yes immediately.
Then why am I offering it to her?
To make the gesture.
Gesture?
Look, Larry, the whole idea is to present yourself as a considerate person who is interested in her, interested in Jess as a person, right?
I have to be interested in her as a person?
Aren't you?
Well, sure, but... I mean, we've been spending all this time on coffee, and we haven't even gotten to the part where she falls madly in love with me and we end up in bed together for the weekend. That was a joke there.
Why exactly did you hire me, Larry?
Because you came recommended. Look, I'm not asking for the moon here, you know? I just want someone to connect with, you know, with girls.
And that's what I do, Larry. I'm a relationship coach, so I help people to connect by creating relationships, not hookups. If what you want is a hookup, you should head over to Tinder.
Well?
So tell me, right now, are you interested in a hookup, or do you want to have a close, intimate, trusting relationship with a person you can respect and appreciate?
Who wouldn't?
Good!
This next piece is from Your Song Remains the Same Old Song Sung Blue by Hal Borden. Through dialogue lifted directly from pop songs, a couple meets, dates, marries, and has a family. Watch the life cycle of a relationship unfold in surprising and familiar ways.
I want to dance with somebody. Do you want to dance? Come on. Dance with me. Dance the night away. Let's dance!
I can't dance. These boots are made for walking.
You make me feel like dancing. Come dancing. You should be dancing.
In the street?
Imagine we're dancing in the street in Barcelona.
I've never been to Spain.
I've been everywhere. Africa, Allentown, Funky Town. Still haven't found what I'm looking for. I was born to run like a rolling stone.
How does it feel to be on your own?
I'm a rambling man. Life is a highway. Come fly away. Come sail away. Come Monday, I'm leaving on a jet plane, a crazy train, and a horse with no name. You're gonna go my way?
Where are you going?
Sweet home, Chicago.
I happen to like New York.
I'm too sexy for New York. Do you think I'm sexy?
You're so vain.
You may be right. I'm a creep.
Ugh, relax, you're only lonely.
So lonely. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Don't cry out loud. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. I want you. I want to be your man. You're the one that I want. I want you to want me.
Anytime you need a friend, you've got a friend in me.
Just a friend?
I'll be there for you. That's what friends are for.
I've got friends in low places. Hey, bartender!
Last call. What's it gonna be?
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Red, red wine.
Gin and juice?
Tequila!
Closing time.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Beat it. Just beat it.
We gotta get out of this place. Where do we go from here?
Up, up and away. Have you never been mellow? What is life?
Is there life on Mars?
Wouldn't it be nice?
What if God were one of us?
I can't fight this feeling anymore.
Why don't we do it in the road?
I can't go for that.
My place? I'll take you there. Walk this way.
Oh, I need to know. Do you love me?
I think I love you.
How deep is your love?
500 miles.
And finally, our Associate Artistic Director, Kristen Clippard, leads the cast and playwrights in a conversation about the production.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us for this evening of new short plays. And what a ride it has been. And I would love to invite our team out to the virtual stage to join me. DW and Ben and Hal, if you can come on out, and then the actors will join us when they are ready as well. So hello, everybody. Thank you so much for your wonderful work tonight. This was so much fun. So I would love to go ahead and once we have everybody join us, hopefully DW, you're able to unmute yourself and turn on your video and come join us as well. Fantastic. Well, we're so pleased that you're all here tonight. DW, of course, the writer of the first piece, and then Hal Borden of the second piece, and our director, Benjamin Ismail, who directed both pieces, and then, of course, our actors. Thank you so much for your work tonight, Imani and Brock, for all that you brought to bring these pieces to life tonight. So I would love to start off our chat back by first putting it to our playwrights. This is a new way of presenting a popular style of theater, right? The 10-minute play. So I would love to hear from both of you. What is it like to do a short play? And what is it about this particular format that is so appealing to you as a writer? Why is it valuable?
I like the 10-minute play because it's an opportunity to experiment. You know, a full-length play can take a year to write, 2 years if there's research involved. And I'm not going to do that unless I'm absolutely confident that it can work. And with a 10-minute play, you know, you can take a chance and try something that very well may not work. I think this one did tonight, but it's a place to experiment.
Yeah, it's a place where you can take risks. I like that. That's handy. Do you have a different take on that?
Well, I would say I like the form because because it's short. I mean, you can you've got an idea and you can just play with it, and you don't have years of your life invested, but it's fun. It's entertaining to write them, and it can be a challenge though for me personally, because you have to come up with something that really kind of works in that short time frame, and I have a little trouble coming up with 10-minute ideas sometimes. A lot of the stuff I come up with is just bigger. So when I do come up with a 10-minute idea, it's kind of a fun little burst of inspiration. So it's kind of an entertaining afternoon sitting down and writing the first draft of one of these.
Right. And I neglected to ask. I would love to just go around the room and have everybody say how, if ever you've worked with American Stage, and if not, tell us perhaps maybe something that you're working on right now, a project that you've got in the works, and tell us where you're coming from. Tell us where in the world you are right now. So I will ask Ben to go first.
Goodness. Okay. Well, hi everyone. I'm Ben. I am in St. Pete. And I have done many things with American Stage. You've been seeing me this summer. If you've been following the work that American Stage is doing, I directed Othello and performed in Romeo and Juliet and Twelfth Night. And then I'm gonna actually be performing in one of the shorts next week too. So check back for that. And you know, I did a bunch of stuff on the main stage too, mostly as a director. Directed Brock and Stephanie in Much Ado About Nothing, which is behind Brock right now. And this is me longing to be where we cannot be right now. So this is our American Stage beloved home.
Yes, I love that you have the backdrop is where we should be sitting right now together.
So. Right, exactly.
Brock, how about you?
So I've been at American Stage twice. I did Benedict with Ben. Well, that's actually not the name of the show. That would be Much Ado About Nothing. And Benedict would definitely say the show is actually about him. But yeah, so I've done Much Ado About Nothing. I also did Marjorie Prime with Janice, who is also joining us tonight. She's in the chat room, so hey, Janice. And then I'm originally from Georgia. I've been down, my brother's from Florida, so he lives down there, and I visit him all the time. And currently, I'm here in Philadelphia, not far. Well, I don't know where Hal lives, but we're in the same general area at this moment. That's where I've been, and just getting by, just like everybody else throughout this whole thing. So,
right. Well, since you're in the same city, Hal, we'll take it to you.
Well, I was introduced to American Stage back at the end of February during the 21st Century Voices Play Reading Festival. I was fortunate to be one of the playwrights there, and one of my actors, John Perez, had triple duty in our play tonight. He was the bartender, the priest, and the doctor. If I had known he was going to be cast, I probably would have given him more lines because he's excellent. But that was probably the last fun thing I did before the pandemic, the festival in St. Pete. So it's good to be back virtually.
We're glad that you're joining us. And Johnny P, if you want to come out and join us, you're welcome to as well. So don't be shy. Imani, tell me about you.
Hi. So this is my first time working with American Stage. So I'm from Sacramento. So all acting, any sort of entertainment, anything I've done has been here in SAC. And I actually kind of departed from acting. So I grew up in the theater, and I've very much a thespian, and that's where I learned how to act and sharpen my craft. But the past couple of years, I actually have been focusing on filmmaking. So that's what I've been up to, and being kind of behind the camera and directing and writing. So I'm just thankful that Ben gave me this opportunity to kind of, you know, sharpen some of my, I'm a bit rusty, so.
nonsense.
If back into it and have the opportunity. And of course, work with American Stage, which, you know, I wouldn't normally be able to work, you know, with you guys being in Florida and I'm in California, but it's kind of cool the way that we're able to do this with the quarantine and the pandemic.
Right. I love that you mentioned that you've had some film experience, and I'd love to circle back to that and talk about how that compares to this experience. So we'll come back to that, Imani. So DW, tell us about where you're coming from.
Well, I haven't, like a lot of folks have been kind of stalled out here. I have a couple of projects I was researching, but I had to kind of set those aside because it involves some travel that I'm not able to do. So I have been working on a couple of short pieces, just 10 minute pieces here and there. And I pulled out another play that I had kind of put in mothballs. I always have like six or seven things in the drawer. And then I went back to one of them last week or the week before, started working on it because I thought it might have the potential for a radio play. And I've been thinking about projects that could work in other media, you know, besides live stage. So this is really cool, actually. I'm going to confess I was a Zoom skeptic about how plays could work on Zoom, but just seeing what you were able to do and having actors in two different parts of the country and how well they were able to relate and the scene came across, I think it's got, it's something I'm going to think about more, writing material for Zoom performances.
It's certainly in the air right now. There's a lot of space and time for developing this kind of new format. And radio plays, as you mentioned too, right, is a sort of a new old form that we're revisiting right now because that's what we have to rely on. So
right, yeah.
I would love to talk about that too. Johnny P, can you tell us about you?
Yeah, of course. Hello everyone, I'm John. I am one of the acting and production apprentices here at American Stage. And I am in St. Pete. I am based in St. Pete. So yeah, not a whole lot of traveling for me. You know, I'm in my bedroom, my green screen's still on, I realize. And like Hal mentioned, I actually got to work with Hal earlier in the year, before the world melted down. That was a lot of fun. So it was really cool getting to work on another one of his works, the costume changes and the baby that's on my bed will tell you I had fun.
Thank you, John. I'm curious, Hal and DW, about this particular form, about taking a 10-minute play and then possibly evolving it into something full length, as far as taking the idea that you started with or the characters that you started with and taking it into a larger piece. Do you imagine that for these pieces tonight, or are there other pieces that you have in the works starting from a 10-minute place?
Well, this particular piece, I kind of think is pretty well contained for what it is. I don't see it as something that would adapt into a longer story about these characters. Could be wrong, but that's right now, I don't see that. But I do think it could be potentially be part of an evening of short plays that are maybe thematically connected. So you might be able to, I can envision a few other things, maybe a few other scenes involving these characters, but not necessarily with each other, possibly, but part of something that maybe there's other scenes in a maybe short evening, 75 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the same way. There are 286 song titles in the play, and if you multiply that by 10 for a full length, I think you're starting to get into some real deep cuts that people don't really need to hear. So I think it's probably at its perfect length right now.
I'd love a holiday version.
Yes, the holiday version. Yeah. That would have been a great trivia question about how many lyrics did you say there are?
286.
Got it. Yeah, there's something interesting about that sort of trick, and it's almost a bit of a gimmick to try to challenge yourself, I imagine, to sustain a plot with just using song lyrics. But what inspired you to do that?
I often find myself during conversations wanting to answer a question with a song title. And at some point, it occurred to me that maybe you could have an entire play with only song titles. I decided to give it a shot.
Okay. Ben, I'm curious, from your point of view, thinking about how you would have staged these plays on a stage in the physical world versus how you had to shift your brain to staging it in a Zoom fashion. How was it working out the differences between those two styles?
Well, it is. There's definitely a difference. It's written and it's sort of loosely suggested in Hal's setup that it's sort of black box type theater with sort of minimal but suggestive props and this, that. And I was talking with Stephanie and she said it has this sort of pastiche, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind kind of feel in this medium. And it just, because it feels so different here, I wanted to see, again, we're just all exploring what this medium can do. And I saw actually in another 10-minute play from another festival, the first time I saw this rapid background changing, I was like, there's something about this that doesn't work in any other format really, except these 10-minute plays, but it feels so successful. It's got something to do with attention spans I don't know what it is exactly, what the alchemy is, but it's pretty cool. And I have a lot of, especially with the tech aspects of the second one, I had a lot of fun on that. And you know, just seeing what this medium can do is sort of the artistic challenge of the moment, I guess.
Yeah.
I know that, when you're doing screenwriting, you know, the golden rule of thumb is you have 7 seconds before you have to write a cut. So anytime you're in the film medium, like just having something change, the camera angle, there has to be an action, there has to be a camera angle shift, there has to be a new scene every 7 seconds max. I think it's just how the medium has trained us to think of, you know, as long as something shifts, then our attention comes back in.
Well, it's interesting how this is sort of between the two, yeah.
It really is, and that's something we talk when we're about in rehearsals, when we're making these plays and putting them together, is about how do we drive the story forward in a way that is active and is engaging, and that we're not having a screen that is blank or no sound or anything like that, so we can keep the audience engaged. So Brock and Imani, I'm curious to hear from your perspectives. I think I might have heard that this was your first foray into the Zoom performances. So I would love to hear what this was like for you to translate, your theater style to the Zoom style.
After you, Imani.
Well, I think in some ways it's funny, a couple of hours ago before I was setting up my room, so I'm like putting my props and, you know, putting everything where I needed to be in place, which reminded me of being in theater where actors have to be in charge of their props and their costumes and make sure everything is where it needs to be at the spot. And so it was the same thing in here, except it's in a room. So it's a little bit different. One thing that Ben had said that I completely agreed with was that the one part of Zoom that's a little bit hard for, you know, a theater actor is you don't get to hear the audience, right? So, which you don't want to, because with Zoom and hearing people unmute themselves and laugh and like, it's way too much, right? So it's good that everybody's muted. but you do miss that interaction, of course. You know, when you do something, you know, like a joke and you hear it, or maybe something kind of serious and you see people shift in their seats, you know, you do miss that with Zoom. But I think it's also a fascinating and innovative way to still bring live performance to people. You know, I mean, we are doing it. I think it's a really cool medium, especially in this time. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I would second that, mirror that. I would just say that I don't think this is going to become the normal for theater companies and actors, but I definitely think this is going to become slowly part of the job. I know prior to COVID, you know, the amount of radio play auditions, I mean, I would, I quadrupled at least in my world of, and then, my girlfriend and I, my girlfriend's also an actor and a director. And, we've talked about it, how to be an actor today, you have to have a camera, you have to have lighting equipment, you have to have microphones, you have to have all of this tech just to be able to get the jobs. Because, the first time I auditioned for American Stage, I did it on camera because you guys are in St. Pete and I was in Texas, I think, at the time. The people are wanting to spread out and find the talent that is across the country, and you don't have to be isolated anymore in New York or in LA. You can be in other places. But I do think going forward, hopefully, I think theaters will find avenues for this technology. And I do think that, this stuff is just going to be things we have to adapt to. Not the audience, of course. I mean, the audience chooses what they want to see. But I do think as performers, this is going to have to be something that we start thinking of in the same way, you think about acting for film or acting for Shakespeare. You're just going to have to start okay, this is an avenue of performance, in the same way that voice acting is a performance, or that, audiobook narration or whatever it is.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a great thing that you point to, is the adaptability that we have to have right now in this time of incorporating technology into our work. And there is, a learning curve because it's, Imani, you've had experience doing film and things like that, and having that probably helped you a little bit with this experience, but still it's a different mindset, because you're also your costume designer, your lighting designer, your sound designer. You have your head wrapped around a lot of aspects of the play.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is. And I think also too, with the backgrounds, which I love that Ben wanted to use, but then my wall, with the light coming in, my walls changing colors, and you could see where it's like the green screen isn't working. And do you look at the camera here? Do you look at the camera here? It really is, even with film, it's different than film as well too. It's just a whole different thing for people to learn. And I could see a lot of actors in this time developing the skill, and it being like a thing to put on the resume, honestly. Can you do Zoom theater, because I see this never really going away.
I think you make a good point there, yeah. And John, you've done this before with us previously in our Shakespeare Light series. Did you have any new observations this time, popping in and out as a character?
It's been interesting, even as we were kind of developing, being an apprentice, I get to kind of assist with the development of some of this digital platform. We did a lot of troubleshooting in rehearsals before we even selected anything to do. Just kind of seeing I felt fortunate in a weird way that, like, because I've gotten to do those rehearsals and then do Romeo and Juliet, like, I kind of knew, like, all right, here's where I got to have my own little prop table. Here's where I keep my little costume. So I felt a little more prepared. I would say it's that felt more similar to what I think someone made the comment during one of the rehearsals earlier today, like, oh, it kind of feels like we're running an official tech right now, because I was like, hang on, I got to get back into my other costume so I could do a quick change again. And I was like, man, that's the most normal thing I've said in the last 4 months. So that's just kind of something. It is interesting to think that this is kind of a new, like, to know when to use those little nuances, those moments to, like, lean in, or just, how do you do an aside, or, so kind of doing that Zoom theater is kind of a special skill in and of itself these days.
You might be the only actor that said, I really miss saying, I have to do that quick change again.
I know. And that's how the quarantine's getting to me.
But I hear you. I hear you completely. Hal and DW, I'm curious to just return to that thing that we talked about before, about sculpting plays for this medium and possibly making more of a shift towards radio plays, plays that are more auditory in their storytelling. Are you thinking about right now, are you adapting your writing to this, to these circumstances that we're in?
I don't know that I'm actually adapting my writing. I'm working on a play that I think might adapt once I write it. I might be able to figure out how to adapt it for a radio format, because of the nature of that particular story and that particular play. Adapting material for Zoom or writing for Zoom is interesting. It's a bit of a challenge. So I was watching the scene today in the dress rehearsal and then tonight, I was thinking how it feels to me like a kind of a hybrid between stage and film. So that there are certain techniques or the director's sensibility, perhaps if this director has a film sensibility, that might help a lot in directing a piece for Zoom. And we had talked about how on Zoom, it seems like attention spans maybe are a little, work a little differently. And so short, a series of short pieces maybe works better than a long play or a play with a, you know, a continuous one act that where there's no breaks.
Yeah,
So it's, I guess I'm just thinking about how, I think I'm going to tune in and watch the rest of your series actually, just to see how other things work. But it has, it's a particular medium and it has particular strengths and limitations. And it just requires a little study, I would say, for me to figure out what works best on Zoom. It's not necessarily that you can take a play. This scene worked well, but other scenes might not necessarily work well.
Yeah, I haven't thought about writing for Zoom. I may, but you know, this piece obviously was not intended for Zoom at all. And I think what Ben did was absolutely wonderful. So to some extent, I think it's, I'll leave that to the director to make it work in a different medium. You know, directors and actors come up with ideas that don't occur to writers. And obviously some stories are going to work better than others, but I'm interested in seeing how plays written for the stage can be turned into Zoom without changing the text necessarily.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, necessity is the mother of invention, right? We've had to really get innovative and creative about how we can approach these plays. And I know there's a lot of opinions out there. Certainly, there's been a lot of discussion about, is this theater? Can it be considered theater? I'm not sure, because it's not live. It's not in person. And certainly, that's what we all miss and want. But this is what we have in the interim. And so we're excited that you guys were able to share these plays with us. And I just want to mention that to our audience that Hal and DW shared their work with us free of royalties. And we're so grateful to them for being open to letting us play in this way and experiment with their plays. So thank you so much to both of you for bringing your plays to American Stage. And Brock, Imani, John, thank you for your performances tonight. Ben, thank you for doing all this work. A question we had about the virtual backgrounds I noticed was, who's in charge of that? Ben, do you want to answer that question real quick before we go?
Yeah, so like I went through the script and decided what would be where, and I worked with the director of production, the fabulous and beautiful Jared Fox, to pick them. But then when it comes down to it, the actors have to do it themselves. That's one of the, you know, quirks of this medium, is that we have to be our own technicians when we're acting. And so those people were doing it themselves the whole time. Anytime, you know, a video would take over, sometimes that was Rachel, the stage manager, taking over with a screen takeover, but there's a lot of new demands being asked of the acting talent now. So it's a ride, and I'm really, really impressed with how quickly these two took to it. But I'm also not surprised, because they're both amazing.
They add, so the virtual backgrounds do add so much, especially with that sort of epic journey that we go on in that piece. So I think they were a really handy thing to be able to incorporate into our storytelling. And yes,
and there's even more technologies that we can explore too. Like, you know, it's just as we keep going and we all get more facile with it. You know, I did a little bit of that snap camera stuff with 12th Night, and yeah, I'm really excited the way that both Hal and DW said. I'm really excited to sort of like investigate what this can be and work on creating something completely new. I think it's cool. And to go alongside with what we've done before, hopefully someday. But with Imani, I think there's something here.
Yeah, absolutely. As we alluded to earlier, this is not going away anytime soon. So there's nothing but possibilities of evolving from where we are right now. So, okay, folks, we're going to wrap it up. And I just want to thank everyone once again for joining us. We hope you'll come back next Thursday and join us once again. And please help us keep our programs accessible. Please consider making a donation to American Stage. We appreciate you. Thank you. Have a great night, and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. We are thrilled to bring you this virtual short series for the rest of July. You can visit our website to register to see our next production each Thursday at 8 p.m. And as always, we want to hear from you. Was there an aspect of these shows that resonated with you? You can email us at podcast@americanstage.org or like our Facebook page to join in on the conversation.
Thank you for joining Spotlight, the American Stage podcast. For more American Stage programs and news, visit americanstage.org.